I had planned on, in fact, what's on the schedule is a study in Hebrews 6. And if you've not read that chapter before, it's a bit of a hellfire and brimstone message. It just didn't seem appropriate for today. And as I prayed about it, I just couldn't do Hebrews 6. So stick around. We'll get to Hebrews 6 later on into the new year. But this Christmas season, it's just something that has touched my heart in a way that it hasn't before. Did you know that yesterday was winter solstice? It's the longest night and the shortest day of the year. So today, we actually get to enjoy 2 minutes, 7 seconds more daylight. I'll take it. I'll take it. More light, less darkness. Sounds like Christmas to me. I like that. So what's your week been like? I mean, really. I know we're in church and you got to talk like you're all church folks and perfect and nothing bothers you, but don't give me a show of hands. But what's the last week been like for you? Hustle and bustle? Frantic shopping, wrapping, parties? Fighting for a parking spot at Walmart? People aggressively ramming you with their shopping carts? Merry Christmas? Aggressive and semi-suicidal drivers, ex-Navy submariners, obviously, dive, 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 as they charge across 4 lanes of traffic to turn right in front of you while slamming on their brakes. That's Christmas. That's what Christmas is all about, right? No, of course not. Everybody knows it's about Starbucks. It's about breakfast with the grandkids at IHOP. Traditions. Remember that old line from Fiddler on the Roof? Tevye sang that? Traditions. And all of us have our traditions. Mine does include Starbucks once in a while and breakfast at any pancake house I can drive past. Now, don't get me wrong. I love traditions. This year, I'm going to let you into my house. I've never done that before. I'm going to let you into my house for just a minute. You got to promise not to laugh. It's unique to the Etheridge household, probably doesn't look anything like yours, but I'm going to let you in my house and into my heart this season, and I haven't done that in 35 years. My hope is that you'll let Jesus into your house and your heart as I'm about to let you into mine. That will make it the best Christmas season that you've ever had. I have at my house a 6-foot white artificial, do not say fake, Christmas tree. I bought it because my wife said, we'll never have to buy another tree. I have bought so many of those things over the years, but I took her at her word. The white I really enjoy because it speaks to me of purity. It's like new fallen snow where there is just this quiet that descends all over the city as inches of snow pile up. My sweetheart, my best friend, and super wife, Kathy, adorned the tree this year all by herself, bless her heart. She started off with these white and blue little LED lights, tiny little church buildings, white butterflies. Where do you get butterflies and what? I don't know. I wasn't looking for an explanation. She's got on the tree little bitty reindeer, snowflakes, colored ornaments, a unicorn or two. No idea. Don't ask. Snowmen, a dancing mouse ballerina, because I think we have one living in our garage. It eats dog food. Ribbons, angels, artificial blueberry branches, just because my wife knows I like blueberries. And where she found little fake blueberry branches to stick in her, I don't know, but bless her heart. There's tons of slender little female ballerinas on the tree. Joy in gentle script in front. Flowers, flying angel bears. Yes, I said bears. Turtle doves in their nest, Joseph and Mary and crosses and polar bears and Calvary Chapel doves and white pine cones and tiny little trees and a squirrel. Why the squirrel? Keep the dog happy. Squirrel, squirrel, squirrel. And of course, it's got to have a star on top, presents beneath the tree, a cherished thought follows every one of those symbols. So they're just symbols. They're unique to my house and may not mean a thing to you. But every one of those ornaments, every one of those decorations reminds me of something of the last many years that we have been married, my children, my grandchildren. Each of these traditions at my house carries a memory, a story, a thought, a cherished remembrance unique to us. And each story speaks to me anyway of a time past, that the good old days, if you will, simpler times where in the house with small children there was so much love and joy and peace and growth, simple and delightful to behold, memories galore. And because it is an artificial, don't say fake, it's an artificial tree, you can see through the tree. And so you can see, if you look just right, just to the left of my tree, looking through the tree, looking past the tree on a table, there is a nativity with Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus and three wise men behind them. If you look past all the trees and traditions and ornaments, you see the real meaning of Christmas. And it just warmed my heart. But I had to see through the tree, past what is most apparent, to see that which is most important. It's all about Jesus. But you have to look past the trees, the presents, the ornaments, the shopping, the hustle and the bustle, to see the real reason for the season. And then I began to wonder, how come Christmas outside the four walls of my tiny house, why does it look so little like Christmas out there in the world? Why does it look and feel so unlike the first simple, uncluttered, pastoral, even primitive Christmas? Outside the walls of my tiny house is a Christmas that comes across as stressful, expensive, built on perceived expectations of who wants what and how much it'll cost. And all of that in light of a tight economy, traditions, impossibly tight schedules to keep and people to be made happy, by gosh and by golly, whether they want to or not. It's not so simple anymore. Christmas outside the four walls of your house and our church is something the world seems to have lost sight of. They're so enamored with the trees and the ornaments and the presents and the traditions that they can't see through the tree to what's really important, the manger scene. It's not so peaceful anymore. And you wonder, where is Jesus in it all? And so I began to just wonder in my own heart, the promise of his coming was so simple. A key word that occurred to me this year. Man's need was great. You'll remember Adam and Eve had sinned in the garden and fellowship with God had been broken. Death was now a certain reality. But in Genesis 3:15, God promised that someday the seed of the woman, that's interesting because it's masculine singular, a male child would someday crush the head of the serpent, Satan. And the whole world has been anticipating that day since. It has not yet occurred, but it is nearer now than when we first believed. The promise was reinforced through a prophet God raised up by the name of Isaiah. He obviously was named after my youngest grandson. The Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and we'll call him Emmanuel, meaning God with us. This would be the most unique birth the world had ever seen. None of the other religious figures down through history ever claimed to have been virgin born, so none of them could be the Son of God or Messiah. None of them could be the hope of the world. None of them could defeat and crush the head of Satan. But this one who would be born of a virgin, Muhammad was not. Buddha was not. Confucius was not born of a virgin. Even Father Abraham, not born of a virgin. None of them Messiah candidates then. None of them could save us from our sins. But he went on to say, a virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son. But know this, he's Emmanuel. He's not just a man. He's God in flesh. He's the Son of God coming into the world to pay the price that none of us could. He's coming. But Isaiah didn't tell us when. And the world waited in darkness for 750 years. Isaiah in chapter 9 promised that the Messiah's kingdom would be an eternal kingdom. For unto us, oh, I can't say the words almost without singing Handel's Messiah. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Oh, come, Lord Jesus. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with righteousness and justice from that time on and forever. Simple, uncomplicated, but powerful promise filled with hope and anticipation. And yet the world would have to wait for another 7.5 centuries. God is patient. Why would he wait so long? So you might be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's where the giving of Christmas presents first came from. It's about Jesus. And we, with every present we give, we should remind the recipient, it's about Jesus. God gave us his own Son. God's plan has always been simple, not always easy. His plans for the relocation of Jesus' family, while seemingly inconvenient. Honey, let's go on vacation. I know you're 9 months pregnant. Let's take a donkey ride 90 miles over the mountains and go to Bethlehem to register for the Roman census. What do you think? Simple plan, though. Simple plan, moved, but God had to move them to the city of David, Bethlehem, because that's where the Messiah had to be born. In other words, the Roman Empire became a pawn in the hands of the living God to accomplish his purposes because he loves you and I so much. He knows how to fulfill prophecy. We stand on the promises of God. The Davidic Messiah had to be born there. And Luke chapter 2 is a section of scripture you'll want to read this Christmas season. All through the Roman census, everyone thought Caesar was in control. Can I remind you who is in control? It is your heavenly Father. No prince or power of this world, not Putin, not our present administration or future ones to come or people in the Far East. You look at the circumstances of Jesus' birth, and it could not have been more simple. It could not have been more unadorned. It could not have been more humble. And it was out of everyone's control except God's. Can I tell you, amidst all of the hustle and bustle in life, if everything else falls between the cracks, I know this, God is in control. God is in control. Pastors have to be as flexible as I'm asking you to be this morning, because God's will for you and I is revealed one day at a time. And you have to take it as it comes, and complaining doesn't help. I found that out. Here, when we came back from vacation, my sweetie and I came down with a head cold. We thought it's just a head cold. And then it developed into a sinus infection. And then it developed into bronchitis. And then it developed into pneumonia. And so we've been out of commission with pneumonia. And laying there, coughing and hacking, and I pray that I don't do too much of that on you this morning. So I'm not catchable, so don't worry about that. But it caused me to rethink Christmas. My heart longs for a simple Christmas. A simple Christmas that takes me back to Bethlehem's manger. I don't care about presents. I would give all that I have to everyone that I know and love because it means nothing to me. But Jesus means everything to me. And so if I can share Jesus with my children, my grandchildren, if I can have Jesus front and center at my house, I think it'll have been a good Christmas when it's all said and done. Now, because of pneumonia, all of our plans have changed. You know how much that stressed me out? None. In fact, it's been kind of cool. Sit around and watch football games, drink hot cocoa and feel sorry for yourself. Read your Bible, take a nap, get up, repeat. It's been a good Christmas. Simple, uncomplicated, and yet filled with hope and anticipation because I know who's in control. I know who came to Bethlehem's manger 2,000 years ago. I know who lives to intercede for us 24/7, even as I speak to you this morning. And oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves you. God had a plan for their relocation. Inconvenient? Yeah. Life doesn't turn out the way you plan. Didn't for them, doesn't for you. Can you trust God? Amen. Will you trust God with what you're going through? Can you trust him with a future you can't yet see? Are you willing to sacrifice your plans to embrace his? Because things may turn out different than you planned. But you'll be happiest if you embrace what he has planned for you. That's what it means to receive God's gift from heaven. To receive Jesus as Lord and Savior is to receive all of the simplicity of his promises, of hope, encouragement, eternal life, love, hope, anticipation. His birth, it could not have been more simple, unadorned, or humble. God's way is not always easy, but it is always simple. And I can tell you this, God's way is always best. I have found that out the hard way, and I have argued with him often about it. God, I really think you ought to see things my way. You ever had that conversation? Has it ever worked for you? Me neither. The annunciation of Jesus' birth was simple, and they did it without cell phones and media fanfare. Isn't that amazing? How could Jesus be born in an age without multimedia? How could Jesus possibly be born in an age without cell phones and computers and internet and X and video and YouTube? How could he? That doesn't make any sense to me. Luke records for us in chapter 2 and verse 8. Feel free to turn there. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. Jesus was born at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to these shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone about them, and they were terrified. You can only imagine. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all of the people. Today in the town of David, Bethlehem, a Savior has been born to you." Why did God send Jesus? To save you from your sins. All you have to do is say, "Jesus, be my Lord and Savior and save me from my sins." And you can know God. But our sins stand in the way, and only Jesus can remove those sins. That's why he came to be born. He was born into poverty to be able to meet you in your poverty. He came without adornment because he's not impressed with the things that impress the world that you may or may not have. He's impressed with an open heart. He's impressed with people that seek after the living God. Seek him with all of your heart. "Today, in the town of David," the angel said, "a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord." Christ is not Jesus' last name. It is a description of what he came to accomplish. He is the Messiah. Christos and Messiah, Mashiach, in the Hebrew, means exactly the same thing, God's anointed one. "And this will be a sign to you," he tells the shepherds, this angel does. "You'll find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger." A manger is not an Easter basket. A manger isn't pretty. It's rough-hewn. It's wooden, as we see it portrayed often in churches. But in Israel, they don't have much wood. It was carved out of solid stone. It was a feeding trough for animals. Newborn babies coming into the world, and they're so poor they can't even afford a place to lay the infant. They could find no room in the inn. And the only place they had available to them was a barnyard. The Son of Man, the Son of God, born into a barnyard stable. You'll find him wrapped in strips of cloths, lying in a feeding trough for animals. And suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who were lying in the manger. The execution of God's plan was so simple. Shepherds in a stable setting, surrounded not with presents or fancy Christmas trees, not even a doctor, nurse, or paramedic in attendance. No prenatal unit on standby. No NICU available if should the need arise. Just a poor couple without shelter when they needed it most. And now their baby would be born in a feeding trough for animals with just a few unwashed blue-collar shepherds with a fantastic story that they'd seen angels and barnyard animals in attendance as witnesses. Because Jesus came to identify with the most lowly and the most common man. He didn't appear in a palace. He wasn't born into a royalty in some incredible setting. Just a fragile and helpless baby coming to the world from heaven above. God's gift to redeem mankind, to identify, I think, with us in our weaknesses, our limitations, born into poverty, so he can identify with your poverty and mine. Born to die for our sins and reconcile us to a holy God from whom our sins had estranged us. We have all fallen short the glory of God. The best of us, the worst of us, all of us need the redemption that he offers us in the giving of his Son. What child is this? The Christmas carol asks the question. What child is this who, laid to rest on Mary's lap, is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while good shepherds watch, are keeping? The message was simple and central, the angelic annunciation. He's come with a purpose to save us from our sins. He is God in flesh. He is Emmanuel. Believe and receive. Can it be that simple? It must be that simple. Simple enough a child can be saved. Simple enough, if you look past your intellect, you and I can be saved. We tend to think way too rational sometimes. We tend to complicate things way too readily. And I think you have to approach the Christmas season with the heart of a child to appreciate fully what God has done for you. Otherwise, the world will dictate its traditions to us. And Jesus will be lost among the fables of short elves in red suits being towed by hardy reindeer with magic abilities to fly through the air. The gospel message is so simple, so unadorned, a child could understand it. That's why Jesus said, "Let the little children come unto me, for such belongs the kingdom of heaven." So I'm asking you to become a little child this Christmas, just so you can get in touch with the baby in Bethlehem's manger. Otherwise, you'll miss him. You'll miss him entirely. You'll be so caught up in all that the world has out there. It's hubbub. God's ways are simple, profound, absolutely awe-inspiring, certainly. But his plan is always simple and uncomplicated. I know what you're thinking. Pastor Jim, life is not simple. Life is not simple. To that end, I agree. Have you ever tried to fill out your own taxes without an online tax service? What a nightmare. What a nightmare. Life is not simple. Ever try to change out the ball joints on the front of your wife's cars with no special tools in a winter snowstorm? Life is difficult. Like when people, you ask them, well, how are you doing? How's that relationship of yours? Well, it's complicated. Life is complicated. Christmas shouldn't be. Christmas shouldn't be because God is not. Here's why it's so important to uncomplicate your life these last days. Christ's coming is imminent. It is imminent. And until he comes, the world is going to continue to up the level of frustration, complication, because that leads to stress. Stress leads to frustration. And in a woman, it'll lead to depression. In a man, it'll lead to anger. Now, of course, none of you have had problems with depression or anger these last 2 weeks, have you? See what I mean? Just being honest. I'm letting you in my house. I'm letting you in my heart. Just asking you to be honest with your own heart and the things that you struggle with. It seems like the more we leave Jesus out of his own birthday, the more of the world's stressful expectations crowd out the simplicity of the joy of the season, the love that sent God's Son from heaven to earth, and the peace that is our rightful inheritance. Jesus coming to earth was simple, uncomplicated, and it led to peace and rest, reconciliation with God. My heart is at rest, my heart is at peace. Traditions are wonderful, but only to the extent that they reinforce the true nature of God's gesture in sending his only Son, Jesus. May all of our traditions lead us back to the simplicity of that first Christmas. Today's call is one to simplify. All I want you to do is take a deep breath. Simplify. Ask God to fill you once again with his love and joy and peace and patience, and it can be yours this season. All we've got to do to recapture what God intended for us is to rethink how we celebrate the season, with or without the world's or tradition's approval. What's the Word of God say? Jesus is indeed God's present of inestimable worth to the world. So open your heart up to him this Christmas season. Pray. The Bible says, seek the Lord with all of your heart, and he will be found by you. But notice you gotta not be so busy that you don't have time to seek. Take time. Make time. God did for you, and that was the first Christmas. And he's been making time for you ever since. Is there room in your heart for him? There was no room for Jesus in the inn. That's fine. It was God's will that he be born in a manger. Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your busy schedule? Is there room in your traditions to actually insert some quiet time with Jesus there? It would be rude to invite somebody to his own birthday party and then not acknowledge him because our trees and ornaments or presents get in the way. Seek the Lord with all of your heart and offer your heart to him. That's your present back to the King of glory, King of kings and Lord of all. If all else fails, if all else falls between the cracks and nothing comes out of our elaborate Christmas plans or traditions, know this. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And whoever believes in him shall be saved and not perish. That's Christmas. Christmas is joyful because it's filled with hope. It's filled with anticipation. It's Christ-centered for the Christian. But if we lose sight of the holy day because we allow culture to dictate what we must do or not do, what to spend, money, shopping, hustle, bustle, if we lose our holiday, the world will gladly replace our Lord and Savior with a fairy tale, rotund, red-dressed elf towed by magical flying reindeer. Tradition has the possibility of thrusting us out of Bethlehem's manger. The way the world celebrates it, there is little room in the world's heart for Christ. Make room for him in yours. Because the manger, here's why that's important. The manger is where the shepherds and the Holy Family are. It's where the presence, not with a T, but the presence of God is. And if we leave him out, we exchange it for what? Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. That's Christmas, the celebration of his birth. I want to leave you with a suggestion. This Christmas morning, let's say, the night before, we open up our Bibles to either Matthew's account of the birth of Christ or Luke chapter 2 and his account of Christ. Let's have our Bibles open so that the first thing we do before the first present is unwrapped, we go through the Christmas story. We remember what Jesus did for us, his birth, coming in poverty and humility. Read it to your family, your children, your grandchildren in a version that all can understand. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. Christmas must be simplified once again. May all of our Christmas traditions lead us back to the simplicity of that first Christmas. And Bethlehem's manger, may we recapture our holy day that's been stolen from us and make the whole season an opportunity to walk close with him, to enjoy his peace, his love, his presence, his joy. It's been said, the wise men still seek him. May the God and Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, his Son, help you by the power of his indwelling Holy Spirit to recapture the simplicity of that first Christmas. May that joy be born in you as you honor his birth above all else this Christmas season. May God be glorified now and forever in Jesus' name. Amen. Merry Christmas. Let's stand together. We're going to close in song. And don't forget about the Christmas Eve candlelight service, 6 p.m. Wednesday. That'll be a wonderful time. I remember, this was before any of you were born, there used to be a group back in the 60s and 70s called Three Dog Night. Remember them? Well, you must be older than dirt. They sang a song. I've plagiarized it. Simplify, simplify, dance to the music. Simplify, simplify. That's your clarion call this year. Simplify. Traditions, great. Keep them centered on Jesus.